So why don't you introduce yourself and tell me your name and where you're from and when you were born.
Okay. My name is Gary Fowler. I'm originally from Montgomery, West Virginia. I was born April 19th, 1974.
Could you tell me how you got into wrestling?
When I was, I was seven or eight years old, I actually was introduced to it by my mom, of all people. She was familiar with WOAY, Saturday Night Wrestling, here in the area, and we actually saw some wrestling on Superstation WTBS, as it was known back then, and she just kind of started reminiscing about, you know, things that she had seen, and I was just hooked from that point.
So did she go to the WOAY matches as a kid?
I don't know that she attended the matches, but I know she watched it on TV and, you know, had a lot of interesting stories to tell. Yes.
Yeah, I've been trying to get in touch with Shirley Love. Haven't had luck yet, but hopefully. So why don't you tell me how the column came about?
Well, I started here when I was 22 years old, and just like I said, I've been a wrestling fan for most of my life, and just through general conversations with others here, you know, colleagues here at work, some of them were wrestling fans as well, and just that, you know, that kind of that common bond, and they decided that, you know, there were a lot of wrestling fans around here, and thought, well, why don't we let you kind of do this on a weekly basis? And, you know, it seemed to really take off.
And so did it start, it started as covering WWF and AEW?
It was at WCW. WWF and WCW for a while. Basically just kind of gave my opinion maybe that preceding week's Monday night show, and then kind of maybe previewed going into the next week, and you know, like I said, it really got a good following. I think people were happy to see something, you know, wrestling fans were definitely happy to see, you know, that kind of voice in the paper.
Was it always in the sports section?
It was, yeah, it was in the sports section. Usually ran every Sunday morning, yeah.
And then how did you get into covering local wrestling?
It was a funny story. I was actually driving home from work one night. I lived in Montgomery at the time, so I had to gas up, make sure I had enough gas to get to Montgomery, and stopped in to pay for my gas, and the guy who was working, you know, started talking as if he knew me, and, you know, he introduced himself as the Cuban assassin, Richie Acevedo. And, you know, started talking to me about all the independent wrestling organizations or in business around here, which I had no clue of. I honestly had no clue they existed. And, from that point, he and I struck up a friendship and talked often and, you know, through email or telephone, whatever. And I've actually got to go out to a few shows and everything. You know, I have a night job, and there obviously their matches are, you know, after hours, and so it was hard for me to get out to many of them. But I got to a few, and it was fun to get to know, you know, a lot of the local guys around here that I wouldn't have known before.
Mm-hmm. So, what were the main storylines at that time that you remember?
It's so hard for me to remember now because it's been so long since I've done that. I just remember, one in particular was a guy that I actually grew up with, named Jeremy Tolley. He was he became a popular guy here, and he graduated from Fayetteville High School, and eventually another Fayetteville graduate got into the local scene as well, and he was what you would call a baby face, a good guy. One of the shows I was actually at, I had written a column previously about Jeremy, and Jeremy at the show I attended got attacked, and this new guy from Fayetteville named Ron Ray, he came out to help Jeremy and clear the ring and everything. Held up his hand, you know, to show everybody he was okay. And then all of a sudden, he turned on him and attacked Jeremy. After he got done with the attack, he kind of he grabbed a microphone, addressed the crowd, and one of the things he said was, you know, "Where's my newspaper article?" And yeah, so without me knowing, I got into a little, you know, 15-second part of the angle there, and a week or two later, I was able to go to another event, and he kind of took a mic at the beginning of the show, explained exactions and everything. And after it was all over, he and I talked, and I got doing a column on him. So, yeah, there's just lots of interesting angles at that time. Yeah.
What kind of feedback did you get from readers?
It was mostly positive. Like I said, I think they appreciated having that different pace. Professional wrestling at that time had more of a stigma, so to speak, at that time than it does now. I think some of the mainstream was all over mainstream now, obviously. And back then it wasn't. And so I think people, wrestling fans appreciated seeing that. And most of the feedback I got, it was mostly positive. You know, of course, anytime you're in this business, you're going to express an opinion or whatever that other people aren't going to necessarily agree with, and then you're going to get the negative emails and negative letters and everything. But I can only think of one time I was actually confronted personally, face to face. I remember that person kind of being sort of out of touch with reality to an extent. But other than that, really, really positive feedback on everything. It was a lot of fun. And I didn't get to do it, for a whole lot of time, but, it was a few years. But as I evolved in this job, it just got to where I wasn't able to find the time to do it. But it was a fun experience.
Do you remember what years it ran from?
I'm thinking, I'm going to say probably the spring of 97. And then I guess by the time I got to the point I couldn't really finish anymore, I'm gonna guess somewhere in 2000. Yeah.
But yeah, that sounds right. From what I've found. What do you think what was that stigma, and how do you think that's changed?
Professional wrestling. Everybody had the people who didn't like wrestling style was fake, everybody knows what's going to happen and everything. And now, nowadays, especially on the national scene, they're really kind of not shying away from kind of acknowledging without coming out and saying, that things are predetermined and everything like that. And I think it's a good thing. I mean, personally, me, I just enjoy being entertained. I mean, that's what it was all about, was, being entertained. And, you just have to, look at things in a reality based way. And it was, to me, that was never a problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, some of the, I think it's had a different perspective because people, watch TV shows that are predetermined,
right.
About it as a narrative.
Exactly. And that was always my argument. You watch, I don't know, you watch a soap on TV, that's not real, I mean, that was always my argument is, just watch it and be entertained, take it for what it's worth, what it is, and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the wrestlers that I've interviewed have said, well, we actually do get hurt, like, physically, sure. And we're putting our bodies on the line and, walk away with black eyes, and
right.
So, in that sense, it is real.
I agree. I think that, and that was what these people are athletes. I mean, they are. I mean, you may be predetermined, whatever, however you want to term it, but they are athletes. You can't. I defy anybody who just thinks they can go into a wrestling ring and do the things they do. Go and try it, and I guarantee you'll come out with a different perspective on everything. And you hear all the time about the injuries these wrestlers sustain. Unfortunately, it's cost a lot of people their lives. They become addicted to the painkillers and things of that nature. And it's from that perspective, it's every bit real. Yeah.
And you really have to trust the person you're wrestling,
yes,
to not snap your neck.
Exactly. Yes. And that's I was watching a match one time, and I watched midget wrestler spear a regular size wrestler, and that was when I realized it's so much it's more about the guy selling the move than it is the guy executing the move.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. What do you think wrestling's particular popularity in West Virginia is about?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
What do you think wrestling's particular hold and popularity in West Virginia, what do you think that's about?
You know, I think as far as you mean as far as like the independent scene and everything,
yeah.
I think it's just they can probably identify with the people. You know, I mean, a lot of the, I guarantee you, a lot of these people who are in the stands watching these guys wrestle are friends of the wrestlers. You know, like I said, and like I mentioned, one of my friends growing up was a wrestler here, and so I think it's just a case of being able to identify with what's going on. You know, with the people that are performing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of the West Virginia wrestlers don't necessarily have the typical wrestler body. And they were saying, well, it's kind of like you root for the guy who you could be at the bar, you know, sitting next to you or something.
Right.
And it's kind of a game of underdogs anyway.
Right. Exactly. I agree with that. Yes.
Let's see what else. So what do you think for you is your, or was your, interest in it and fascination with it?
You know, I was really I think about that a lot, you know, because I hear you know, a lot of complaints about that wrestling fans have today with the WWE is there's not enough attention given to the actual wrestling. It's more about talking and everything. To me, that was it. Personally, that was the attraction. I loved the storylines. I loved the angles. I loved the soap opera part of it. That was what drew me to it. I mean, not that I didn't respect, you know, what they were doing physically. I see some of the things they do, even, you know, from the technical part of it to the hardcore part of it. I just, you know, there's no way I could do it. I'm just telling you, I could not do that. And but you know, to you know, like I said, for me personally, I just liked the angles. I like the you know, the theater, you know, that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's why I think it's fun too. Because sometimes at the shows in Madison, if the wrestling goes on too long, I'm just like, oh, I just want the story. I like, you know, like the heels and the faces, and yeah, that's what does it for me.
Right. Yeah. And I think you know, sometimes and this is an unfortunate thing, but you know back in the '80s when I started watching wrestling and everything, you know, putting people in a rear chin lock, you know, for 5 minutes, you know, putting them in, you know, things like that was acceptable. Now, if you know, it's like a basketball mentality now, if the action is not constant, you know, people lose interest, and that's just a commentary really on society today, you know, with social media and everything. Everything has to be now, and you know, so, but that was, you know, that was never a problem for me, honestly. I didn't mind going through those matches, you know, because I knew, you know, I loved watching wrestling on TBS on Saturday nights, 2 hours. I loved all the drama, and you know, it was more about that than it was the actual wrestling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think in some of the newspaper articles from maybe like the 50s in West Virginia, they had like 3 rounds and it was with bells and they were timed matches, but they seemed really long. I think
right.
They've shortened.
Yeah. And that was they may have been acceptable back then. Maybe people were probably winning and knowing that's what was going to happen. And, you know, wrestling has just changed in different phases through the years.
Were you aware of any other columnists around the country who did wrestling columns?
Yes. And there are guys, you mean as far as when I started doing it at the time?
Yeah.
I think there were a couple, and I think they're still doing it. One is named Dave Meltzer. I believe he was doing it at the time. It seems like there was one whose name was Bob Ryder, mm-hmm. It seems like. They not where they are were, I don't know. Yeah, I know they were on the national scene. Yeah, and it's even obviously it's even more so now. Yeah, you know, with the mainstream popularity that wrestling has taken in the last 15-20 years. But those are two that come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you stopped doing it, it was mostly because you didn't have time anymore.
That was it. Yeah, it wasn't from a lack of interest or anything like that. You know, I enjoyed doing it. I really, really enjoyed it. And I didn't make it every Sunday. You know, sometimes I just, you know, didn't have anything to write about, or, you know, didn't have the time at that particular week. But, Yeah, like I said, as my responsibilities grew here, just became more of a time issue, and I don't. Yeah, I've had people. You know, I still have comments today. Hey, you need to bring your wrestling column back. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of times now it's a space issue as well. Yeah, so, but yeah, I do miss doing it. And, yeah, I look back on it and think how fun it was, and even. I'm not as big a wrestling fan today as I once was. I mean, I think it just comes from, I have a family now. I'm married, have three kids. It just comes from a lot of things. But I think back about not just the column, but, just getting together with people at football games I was covering or whatever, and after it was over, just talking about wrestling and things like that. It was a lot of fun.
Have you done any wrestling pieces since then?
Not many. I've done a couple, probably. I think I did one on actually on Richie, the Cuban assassin. One of his, I think Richie has gone in and out of retirement 3 or 4 times. He wants to send your blood. It's hard to get it out. But I think I did a story on him one time about him coming out of retirement, going into retirement actually. There have been very few. Yeah.
Know there was a character or wrestler, the Black Diamond, who was African-American. He was a coal miner, former coal miner. He was in that like Saturday Night Wrestling documentary.
Now that you say that, that sounds familiar, but I'm not familiar enough with the history of it.
He's from Buckley. I was just trying to find some of the older folks who are still around.
Right.
People who do kind of these ethnic racial stereotypes, because
right.
It's so fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. Richie maybe was somebody you could talk to. I don't know if you talked to him yet or not, or reached out to him. But
I should. I think he's on Twitter.
Yeah, he is, and he's definitely on Facebook.
Well, is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I think that's it. Just I really thank you for for this opportunity. It was great. It was great thinking about it, and it's definitely a fun and important part of my life. Part of my life history. Yeah.
Well, I found that all the articles through the Kanawha County Public Library. They're online, so if you want to take a trip down memory lane, you can check it out, or I can send you some of the PDFs.
Oh, that's fine too.
Cool.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
All right, thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
Sorry, my phone went off and I thought I had it silenced, but.